Tomorrow, the Senate is set to take up a proposed federal pilot program for school vouchers for the District of Columbia. This provision has already passed the House. Commentator Katie Davis works with children in her Washington, D.C. neighborhood, and she feels that some details are being left out of the debate over school vouchers.
Say the V word in my city and get ready for sweeping statements. Vouchers are a poor child's last chance for an education, says one side. The other counters, vouchers will intentionally destroy public education. So far, I have not heard anyone consider the complexity of what it means to take a child from a failing public school and enroll him in a private school. And it's the nuances that can make or break a program. Let me tell you the stories of two neighborhood boys who both won scholarships to private schools. I'll call them Jaime and Wilfredo. First off, I am positive that neither family would have been able to negotiate the maze of admissions without a lot of help. The parents did not speak English well, so I filled out all the paperwork. I requested reference letters from teachers, copied tax returns, and cajoled Jaime and Wilfredo into writing essays. Neighbors took the boys to their school visits and interviews, four separate trips, because none of the parents were able to miss work. Jaime's mom cleaned hotel rooms, and Wilfredo's mom made tortillas. One family could not afford the $60 fee to take the school entrance exam and was ready to give up until we found community money to cover the costs. Think about it. Jaime and Wilfredo's families needed a SWAT support team just to apply to these private schools. These are real stumbling blocks, and it makes me wonder how many families will really be able to take advantage of the voucher program. The families were thrilled, though, when Jaime and Wilfredo were accepted for seventh grade. They were only asked to pay for books, uniforms, and supplies. Still, these were daunting expenses. $225 for Wilfredo's family and $350 for Jaime's, more than their mother's weekly paychecks. Again, we tapped a community fund. But what happens to families that don't have help with these extra expenses? Jaime did well in his new school. He studied, met with his tutor, did his work. Wilfredo did the same, at first. Then he fell behind and became apathetic. The school called his mother in. A few months later, the school held a second meeting to say nothing had improved. Later, I learned that Wilfredo's mother understood little of what the teachers were saying to her because no one at the school spoke Spanish. Now, at a D.C. public school, that would never happen. Many teachers speak Spanish, and a bilingual social worker might have been brought in to ask about problems at home. They might have learned that Wilfredo's 14-year-old sister had gotten pregnant and run away. They might have been able to uncover Wilfredo's fear and depression. Public school teachers cope with these kinds of problems every day. I wonder if the private schools are capable or even willing to deal with it. These are some of the subtleties I wish Congress and D.C. school officials would grapple with, the messy details of poverty and need that will follow a student to a new school, to any school. P.S. Jaime smiled wryly as he graduated from high school last May. Wilfredo was not invited back to his private school, and 2 years ago, he became a dropout.
Katie Davis lives in Washington, D.C.